The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. Happy Thursday. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. We're joining you today until 6 o'clock. We'll have Lady Raider basketball with Krista Gerlich coming up for you at that time. Lady Raiders, the big victory last night in a big, big game. We talked about it yesterday, and they gutted out a pretty impressive home win over a ranked Texas team. This Lady Raider team has a bit of momentum, and that's a series that has some heat to it right now because of what all happened last year in Austin and in Lubbock between those two coaching staffs. And so I'm very sure it felt super good last night for Krista Gerlich and her staff and those players to get that win, especially at home. And, you know, they've got some momentum here.
Social media would indicate that as well. When the post-game locker room celebration, or actually when locker room looked like they were in a meeting room, or I don't know if they were back across the street at the Womble, I'm not sure. But, Krista comes in. Krista comes in.
Double horns down.
Yeah. Horns down, and they're all yelling, and everybody's dancing, and it was the perfect post game locker room celebration dance kind of stuff. No coolers getting dumped, but I think it speaks to exactly what you're talking about in terms of their reaction. And it'll be a big challenge for them to move on from that.
Sure,
you know, all right, we're celebration over because, and I'm only saying that not to. Then, you know, on the ivory tower
cold and water.
Scold you from, not that at all. But I think, they're, as you said, they've played themselves into, I won't say they've played themselves into championship consideration, but they're playing themselves into NCAA tournament consideration. And so, they want to keep stringing together some things and go get some wins on the road and do those things that build a legit resume. And, I thought about this last night because it dawned on me by the time I got home and the dust settled. I was like, hey, this game's on. Let's kick, we flipped it on ESPN Plus and watched the very end of the first half and all of the second half. And it reminded me of, way back in the day, Coach Sharp and Jody Conrad they sort of butted heads, I guess. I don't know that I don't think there's ever came to a head. I may be forgetting something the way Krista and Vic Schaefer did last year at the scorer's table and then, the next deal. But, there was always a sense of rivalry in Coach Conrad. It was everything you would want. And I think it helped women's basketball everywhere, but certainly in this region. And, so it was great theater then, and I think it's great theater now. But, the Lady Raiders were coming along, really, when I was in school. They were about the third best team, and I'm not saying we could check the standings and see that they were third every year. But generally speaking, they were behind Arkansas. And everybody at that time was behind Texas. Texas won 100 or so Southwest Conference games in a row. I mean, it was ridiculous. And in that stretch was a national championship. But in the late 80s, really as my class went through and graduated, basketball bottomed out. And it was the end of Coach Meyer's time. And Coach Dickey had a rebuild. And what happened was the Lady Raiders got good at that time. And really stepped in and developed a fan base and a big following because there was a lot of folks that were, I'll say this. I think any of us in any sport, you go win at a high level and host postseason games and stuff like that, and there's room for you. Folks will go out and see that. I would go.
Like, just think of how in tune we have been with the meat judging team.
Well, you're right. I was going to use a couple different examples, but I'm good with that. Tech Soccer hosted the regionals a couple times, and that place was juiced. Probably a lot of folks that haven't ever been to any other soccer game than that one, or those couple. Minnesota once, maybe Prairie View, a couple others. You know, the Lady Raiders have hosted a few times, certainly in Coach Sharp's era. We know about baseball. I mean, those type things, you know, they're not, I'm not saying they're can't miss, but they rise above, I'm not really a season ticket holder for that sport. Like, hey, let's we'll get in on this. And at this point in time, and I'm not burying the men's basketball team, but with the start that they're on and the Lady Raiders getting off to a good start, there's some air in the room, you know? I mean, I don't want to base all of this on my media takes or anything else, because I spend more time in an office with other people about my age and I listen to their reactions to good games, bad games, whatever. And there's conversation around the Lady Raiders today, and there hadn't been for a while. And that's not a commentary of, well, the last 5 years they haven't been winning or whatever. I'm saying, like, on one hand, they have been frustrated, just slowly frustrated with the men's team. And again, this is sort of water cooler talk, if we don't really have a water cooler, but you know what I mean. And then herein steps this team that's playing well with one of ours as their head coach, and they're winning, and just, you know, it's getting more and more oxygen just there in the office around the people my age as I sit and listen to them. And, you know, I think it's a great time.
Love to get your thoughts and comments on the Yates Full Ring Center chat line at TT973.com. Got to say, trying the Rainbow Sherbert flavor of rain tonight, or today for the first time. Actually, very surprised.
The
pretty good.
Rainbow Sherbert.
Little play on words there, but no, very good.
Nice.
It actually might have climbed up as my second favorite.
Really?
Even. We'll see. This is the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Dickens, great win for the Lady Raiders. Gerlich is great at making adjustments, and after timeout plays, Adams should study her. And then this from our friend Steven, who says, a visual to get you all started. Cho-Cho, is that Choice? Choice? Okay. Choice Woodman was sitting commando on Jamie's chair eating a big fat pickle.
Hmm.
So we could lose our jobs and make some jokes using those as kind of prompts, but we won't. I don't know that, like, I wear pants, right, or shorts. So I don't know that, you know, Choice sitting in a chair before me in his underwear is really going to just, like, weird me out. Like, if it was at my house, okay, yeah, that's a different story. But here at the office, I don't know that that would really bother me.
I wonder what the occasion was. I guess you like go for a workout or a jog or a bike ride or something, and then came back and was in the course of changing clothes. Or I mean, how do you nude up at the office?
And I'm gonna tell you, man,
nude is my word.
That does seem like a very kind of logical pathway to ending up someplace in the office other than the restroom in just your tidy whities. Well, but at the same time, why would you eat a pickle after you train?
Yeah,
that seems like a very kind of, like, protein shake, you know, get it, granola bar or something, but a pickle.
And Jamie's got like a door and then a door. So, and I don't know if one of those can be locked or something, but you know, maybe you can get back in there and change clothes without having to traipse all the way down there and get in the bathroom. But, I want to hear more about that, or maybe I don't.
More Tech Talk next.
It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It's the juice on Double T 97.3. Double T973.com. And the Double T 97.3 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank with Dr. Mike Gustafson. I'm Aaron Dickens. Time for some headlines. The Texas Tech Lady Raiders defeated the University of Texas last night at the USA 68-64. Bramber Scott had 28 points.
she's had a pretty good week or two here.
Yeah, it's been a pretty decent stretch. Lady Raiders now 15-4 overall, 3-3 in the Big 12. They are part of a whole mess of teams tied with 3-3 records. KU, Oklahoma State, and West Virginia also are 3-3. Baylor, Iowa State, and Texas are all 4-2. Oklahoma, a little ahead of the pack at 5-1. But really, this is a very kind of condensed standings at this point in the season. Really, only Kansas State at 1-5 and TCU at 0-6 are kind of really just out of it already. And, you know, perhaps the best news for the Lady Raiders is that they're already have two road wins in the Big 12. Which, as we all know, super, super valuable.
Yes.
They'll be back in action. Was that some kind of accent?
No, I said yes.
Okay. Sorry. And just, no, I just wasn't sure. I wanted to just kind of catalog it properly in my head. They'll be on the road taking on West Virginia in Morgantown on Saturday. Tip-off at noon. Our coverage will begin for you at 11:30 on 107.7 Yes FM. Last night in the Big 12, TCU lost to West Virginia 74-65. The Mountaineers now 1-5 in the conference, which means that Texas Tech is the last place team in the Big 12 right now. Winless, still 0-6. And then in Bedlam, Oklahoma State dispatched Oklahoma 72-56. They outscored the Sooners, did the Cowboys 48-26 in the second half. You too can join the program. We would love to hear from you today. Let us know what you think on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com.
The women's basketball net ranking. This says through games of 118.
Mm-hmm.
So that would mean last night results. 66 in the country. So, you know, probably need to keep winning, but you know,
and you were 74 before last night.
Yeah. The eight spot jump, and then you know, ahead of them, Baylor in the mid 20s. Well, that's the next home. No, that's not until next Saturday, a week and a half from now, or 9 days from now. But the other interesting little tidbit there is that that game features the 30-year reunion of the national champs. Yeah, how about that? And that's wonderful.
That'll make you feel old.
The only time, yeah, it is. The only time I ever got up on skis was behind a boat pulled by one of the 93 national champs' father. Thank dadgummit. Girl from Idaloo. It'll hit me in a minute. But they were like, hey, come out there. You know, a bunch of us go out there. He pulled me, and I got about halfway around Buffalo Lake and fell down. And that was the extent of it. That was my peak water skiing moment right there. Married into, you know, my Dana can slalom and do all that crap because she grew up going to, you know, Alabama Lake, all that stuff. And so she's, you know, and I even tried it with her after this, you know, like just never.
And I never like, really, you know, got the appeal.
That was me. And it was just like this juice isn't worth the squeeze because, you know, everybody's cheering for you in the boat and the whole deal's up, the whole operation's waiting on you. And like, you know, I'm good. I mean, I'll ride around the boat. I'll swim around, you know, drink the beer, do the deal.
What's the best case scenario with water skiing? You're still going to let go of the rope at some point and sink.
I know. It's the speed and the wind and the rush of it all. I mean, what I have had fun doing since then, you know, it's been over the last 15 years or so, is riding jet skis and stuff. That's pretty cool.
Sure.
A lot of fun, in fact, but yeah, the actual getting pulled behind the boat deal was such a disaster. But I always remember that because it was just another day, you know, another day on the lake for her and her family, but me and whoever, somebody else in the weight room or whatever, that I got up on the skis was that was big stuff for me, man. She had no idea. I'm going to get her name just here in a second since it's bugging me.
We get this question on the Yates Flooring Center chat line from our friend, the Home Finder. who says, when was the last time that the Lady Raiders had a better conference record than the Red Raiders? It's been a while, and I can't drill down and say, like, specifically, hey, this it was March 2nd on, you know, 2000 and whatever, but let's see here.
Well, it would, you know.
Probably, I think it was 2012, 2013.
That's what I was going to say, probably about 10 years ago when the men were, you know, not good at all.
Yeah, it was Walker's season, Chris Walker's season, yeah, as the interim after Gillespie, you know, imploded. The men went 3-15. They finished in ninth place. They won just 11 games. The Lady Raiders, meanwhile, 21-11, 11-7 in conference play. They were tied for third in the Big 12, and they made the tournament. That was the last time that they made the tournament. The next year, they would go 0-18 under Candy Whitaker.
Kim Pruitt was her name. At that time, I think she was a freshman on that team, but Steve Maines just rescued me. He knew where I was going with that. He probably didn't know the story about me actually making it 300 or 400 yards by the bow. Probably didn't care, but he heard me floundering with the story and bailed me out. Mr. Pruitt, good man. You made my aquatic highlight right there.
This from Gerald. AD, let's see your take on this. Sometimes one person can spoil your whole team. It may be attitude or even style of play or even how fast you play. Now Pop brings the ball and they get into the play. Harmon takes his time and we don't have time to run the play. Have you guys noticed that? That is not something that I've picked up on as, like, you know, a problem. I hadn't thought about it that way. I don't know that you've just been so efficient with the ball when you've had time that it really kind of makes much of a difference, but I'll pay more attention to that. It's a good observation.
Yeah, I don't know when. I mean, because I know Harmon pushes the ball at times. I mean, he and there was a moment the other night where he pushed it and kind of just ran through a couple Baylor dudes, like coming out of a break. I don't remember if it was a steal or just a quick outlet pass. And I was sitting next to Brooks going, man, dude, that stuff happens with some speed. In fact, it was sort of what I was reflecting on this time yesterday when we talked about that. Like, you get down here low, those dudes are flying, you know, and they're crashing. I think that was when we were talking about the you know, Pop's evolution will involve a little more physicality just because of how intense that game is. But yeah, there may be something to that just in terms of when we're playing out of just a set that, you know, it's an inbounds play coming out of a timeout and it's going to be a half court play that Harmon's the guy that brings the court ball up more often than not. But, you know, I'm always amazed by whenever there's a rebound. A lot of times, it's not just our coaches, but just any coaches, probably men's, women's, probably go watch high school games and see it. But, you know, our team gets a rebound, and all of the coaches on our team, and again, it's probably just the excitement, but they're like, go, go, and everybody's just windmilling the dude up the floor or the girl up the floor or whatever, and I'm thinking, I think they kind of know that, don't they? But it's just the excitement of the moment, right? If I'm in the dugout and somebody hits a double to the wall and there's a guy on first, we're all yelling, go, go, go. But I'm thinking, do those guys need to be told to get up the floor? If anything, I would think there's probably half the time where you're like, hang on. No, not 1-on-3. No. But fun to watch.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line from Steven. I once flew around the Lake of the Pines in California on an inner tube, towed at 40 miles an hour, which seemed like 100 miles an hour on the water. Somebody else says this. Clearly, Gus, you haven't experienced the rush of flying across the boat wake with centrifugal force at your fingertips.
No, I haven't. And I remember the summer after I finished baseball here and was still in good shape, going to the lake again with friends. Actually, Charles Odehorn and I went, and, you know, with other friends or whatever, and somebody's dad was pulling a boat, and we were on inner tubes, and I was young and had grip strength back then and all that, and then that was when the contest was, hey, throw Gus off the tube and then throw
Odie. I like that contest.
Yeah, throw Odie off the tube. And so what it was is you're going in circles and just, you know, ripping us, and we're bouncing and all that, and so there was an aspect of that that was, you know, kind of thrilling and challenging and all that, but then later on, after, you know, two kids, it's like, no, I'm just gonna get hurt, and this is just pissing me off. So another reminder of my failing everything. So yeah,
but you can swim, right?
Oh yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm good.
So you don't need like floaties?
No. Yeah, just right. If you just do the little blow up ones on my biceps, I'm good. All really right. I mean,
more tech talk next.
It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Dr. Mike Gustafson. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6 o'clock. We'd love to hear what you have to say on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. You know, I really enjoy when people come to us for advice on things.
Oh.
Not that we're necessarily the best choice to advise anyone on really anything, but you know, it makes me feel good.
And likewise, anything we can do to help, right?
And likewise, I enjoy asking feedback and advice from the people. Right? We have a wide and varied group of folks that listen, that cover a variety of bases. Super knowledgeable, very experienced, and they've always come through. Like when I was sick, right? We get the text about, hey, go get some cough syrup with this
yep,
in it,
yep,
and
yep.
Boom.
Yeah, that ingredient.
So today our man Clint Scott needs some help. His dogs will not stop barking at 3 a.m. It's irritating his neighbors. And so if you have any kind of
my wife is listening, which is not, she would come up here and kill you because we're about to murder this neighbor. If there's a story around the West Loop, local lady found murdered, you can trace it immediately back to me. I'll just go ahead and tell you.
Okay.
Trace it back to me.
Wow.
Local shock jock murdered.
Just because you can't keep your dogs quiet?
Oh, no, that's... No.
Can you
muzzle
them?
Someone else's dog, but we keep getting blamed.
Well, don't leave them outside overnight.
We don't. You know what? It's working because I'm livid about this situation today. And I don't know if this lady is a listener. I hope she is. Listen, you're dead to me and you're almost dead to the world. So
you think she's a 97.3 listener?
I hope so. Maybe she just wants a friend, Clint. Just go to her apartment. Like,
she
knock,
doesn't deserve friends.
Knock on her door, bake some cookies or something. You know?
I had cookies.
Well, no, and just, hey, tell me about your day. Or, hey, where are your kin from? Old people love those kind of questions.
Yeah, she Clint. Probably is.
Yeah.
Hey, Clint's in there taking his earrings off like, oh, hell no. He's ready to go.
I just got a very good glimpse into Gus's fighting style, and I'm here right? for it. I'm here for
First
it.
First of all, the hair goes,
put it in a ponytail.
No, he didn't.
Yeah. No, so, okay, so because you brought this.
Our friend Steven suggests a shock collar.
No, here's the story. Our dogs don't bark. But there's a dog that barks in our little complex.
Well, there you go.
And it's this new neighbor identity. Keeps on thinking that it's us. But here's the thing. If our dogs were barking at 3 a.m, you know who wouldn't be getting any sleep? Us.
Right.
Well, it definitely sounds like you're getting a lot of sleep because you're not cranky at all.
I wasn't until today. I was having a really good day, Aaron.
Until 3:32.
So we got a stupid text. I'm over it.
Hang in
I'm
there,
not,
pal.
I'm not because this is going to be an ongoing neighbor problem. But I'm over it.
So Clint needs help on getting his dogs to stop barking, and also, and perhaps most importantly, petty ways of exacting revenge on his neighbor. So
yes, I will take
fire those off onto the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. All hypothetical, of course. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. I had a neighbor like Clint's. I found my dog poisoned. Couldn't prove it.
Oh.
Ooh, yeah.
Dang.
I would, that would drive me to violence.
I went dark.
How about our man Spencer Sanders,
I know,
dude?
Right? How about that?
He had been so quiet in the portal. There had been so much talk about him leaving Oklahoma State, and yet, not a lot of reports linking him to this school or that program or that program. And suddenly, up and today, he transfers to Ole Miss.
Yesterday, Ole Miss was the also on the portal ticker crawler info.
Yeah.
And that they took I guess took, that's my word, that's my verb. They took LSU's top quarterback recruit from last year. Now,
Walker Howard.
Yeah. Obviously be a young, probably redshirt freshman this coming fall. And so I'm sure, I would assume, since the releases came one day apart, that, hey, Walker,
this is kind of in concert.
You come here, you play a year behind a super senior transfer. We want you to do what Spencer Sanders does. And, you know, perfect guy, and then it's paved. It's paved in gold for you to be a 3-year starter.
Well, but, I mean, and Jackson Dart is still there. I mean, he was a sophomore this year. He started in that bowl game that Texas Tech won just a few weeks ago, and he'll be a junior next year. So you have redshirt freshman Walker Howard. You have junior Jackson Dart, and then, you know, eighth-year senior,
super senior.
Spencer Sanders.
If you're Jackson Dart, at this point, wouldn't you feel a bit? I'm gonna use the Tyler Shuck analogy, but let's get too carried away with this. But when he was like, I'm not sure people down the hall believed in me, or that kind of post game OU comment that got some folks riled up, which I loved, by the way. If you're Jackson Dart and you win this job, do you not just if he wins this job and the first game they roll somebody, or five games in they're off to a good start, Jackson Dart's going, you brought in all these clowns and they're behind me.
And it's been really funny to kind of watch the reaction on the Ole Miss side of this stuff, because statistically Spencer Sanders is very impressive. I mean, look at how many games he has won during his time in Stillwater, the numbers he's put up. I think he's the second most winning quarterback in the program's history. I think that's right. But I just don't think that he's going to beat out Jackson Dart.
Well, I'm not. I wouldn't. I don't think it's a given.
I don't know that he has his fastball anymore. You know?
Well, it'd be that's one of the things about this portal stuff. Dudes, especially old guys, don't go somewhere to sit, and he's not doing that. And to go play QB for Lane Kiffin, that guy that's produced Heisman Trophy type first round pick type people would probably be a good way to go out. But Spencer Sanders got to beat somebody out and got to beat out a proven veteran.
And this has to be probably I wonder if this, because you got to think that there are some Oklahoma State fans that are pretty miffed, because he ended up going to a comparable program,
right?
Versus
didn't leave you for a blue blood, didn't leave you for Bama.
Well, but what I'm saying is, if you're a diehard Oklahoma State fan and your team Mike Gundy, your team Pokes, etc., you kind of wanted to see him not have those options, right? Get kind of too big for his britches, and then even find out that really only a Fresno State wants him, or an East Carolina, right? And he ends up going to Ole Miss, which I would sure think will be better off next year than Oklahoma State. They have a pretty manageable non-conference schedule in 2023. They play Mercer. I will give you $1 if you know where Mercer is.
It is in Georgia. Is that close enough? Wait, is that what you're in there? Isn't that right? They've had some.
Well, hold on. That was the company. Macon, Georgia. Yeah, there you
go. Yeah, I wouldn't have got the city right, but they're in that. And they might be in the same league with like Georgia Southern, but Tech, hosted Tech's regional.
I think Georgia Southern is D1 now. FBS. I don't think that Mercer is. I think Mercer's FCS.
Well, I would say D1 in baseball. Yeah,
oh,
I'll take
okay.
my dollar, please.
Yeah,
thank
for sure.
You. Set I'm no just, wagering, please.
Just losing bets all over the place. Then they play at
Ready?
Tulane.
Put that in my.
They host Georgia Tech, and then they host ULM for their November bye.
Ooh. Georgia Tech meets the hey, we're playing a Power 5 team. right?
Right. And you know what? They might be a lot better next year under Brent Key.
And they had, I mean, they did good things after the coaching change under Brent Key. So he felt like he had a little bit going for him. Now the expectations are, I don't know, might have been fairly low, at least from 1,000 miles away out here. But it looked like he, you know, looked like he got him going because they immediately beat somebody. I mean, like he took over and they immediately beat somebody low scoring 14-10 type game or 14-7, a decent team.
Keep those suggestions for Clint coming on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. More Tech Talk next.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. Happy Thursday. Thank you for spending part of your day with us. With Gus and Clint and Kyler, I'm Aaron. We're joining you today until 6. Would love to hear your thoughts and your comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. All guests appear via the Benchmark hotline, 806-771-0973. Steven says this in the chat line, Clint, pay attention. There are high-frequency noise emitters that sound a dog whistle, again, high-frequency, when a dog barks. Clint, are you writing that down?
Clint's going, who, me? Not me.
Again, the problem is because our dogs aren't barking and we're not hearing the dogs. I'm sure there's somewhere on her side of the complex that is. So, like, I saw a shock collar one on there too. And unless I can put the shock collar on this lady, it's not going to help me.
I mean, you could, I mean, you're a big guy. You could pin her down, right?
No comment.
No comment. Okay. this on the chat line from Bobby Hot Dogs. If Clint has this neighbor's phone number, he could put an ad on Craigslist for freak goats and list the neighbor's number. Their phone will be blowing up for weeks. Are goats like a coveted thing, or is it just the free part?
I heard they're a real
like
hot.
if you did hat. What did you say?
I heard they're a real hot commodity.
Stop! Come on, bro.
Kyle, don't let him use the mic.
Kyler, you're in charge of Clint.
This is the chat line. Sneak into your neighbor's backyard and put one of these shock collars on that only shocks the dog when they bark. They'll be cured from barking by daylight. So put on like an all black cat suit, right? And you know, some gloves and, you know, a beanie. And there you go. I mean, just hum the Mission Impossible theme and you've got it.
Could you hum? There you go. Oh, I got you.
Where do I get a cat suit?
Amazon.
Yeah, you know.
A Halloween costume?
Yeah.
Mission Impossible theme would be probably easier to hum than like anything associated with Jason Bourne.
I couldn't even tell you if there was like a Bourne song.
Yeah, it's that kind of different sound of music. It'd be harder to hum that music. Seems like a good job for Clint in the next 8 minutes to find the Jason Bourne theme song.
He quit.
Clint just...
He tapped out.
That's out.
Bullfighter has this in the chat line. Goat meat is in high demand, but it is expensive. Why is goat meat in high demand?
I don't know, man. Cabrito.
I've had curry goat before. It's pretty good.
Well, you talk about that.
Yeah. But I wouldn't go like searching for goat meat.
No, probably wouldn't either.
This in the chat line, the high frequency dog bark preventers are pure trash. I will say that I attempted that when I had a neighbor dog issue and it did not work. It looked like a bird feeder, I guess, to kind of blend in and not just scream and, hey, I'm trying to get your dog to stop barking with this contraption, but it was, I might as well have just lit $80 on fire.
Oh, I was going to say $30 bucks well spent. $80. Dang, bro.
Would love to get your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line today on the Yates Loring Center Chatlin at DoubleT973.com. We'll have Texas Tech basketball for you on Saturday. That coverage will begin at noon as they take on the Kansas State Wildcats. That would be a shocking win, right? We would be at about an 8, 9, or 10 on a 10-point scale if they manage to pull that one off.
Yeah. Yep. At this point, given where, how it's gone for us so far and where they are, but I mean, it's not out of the question, but it's, maybe what we're banking on. I mean, anytime you come off a win like they're coming off of that thing against Kansas, a couple things would happen. One is just the, regression to the mean type stuff that, and they're, and darn good and well, they're getting patted on the back, told how great they are all this week. And so the just sort of the ebbs and flows of a long season. So that might work in Tech's favor a little bit, but a win like that the other day makes everyone excited around that program in terms of, the students that were sort of indifferent or haven't gone to a game yet, or I don't know where they are in terms of class starting or whatever else. Like, OU just started this Monday, I think, this week, whereas Tech started last week. But, the students that are not super, super geared up for hoops, now they're all in now because you're seeing the success. And we just beat Kansas, and this is a Saturday afternoon game. I mean, it's, so maybe we catch them not as high-flying and playing great as they were the other night when they beat Kansas, but I suspect that we'll be playing in a lively, lively barn, lively environment.
Or maybe not.
Okay. I like the sound.
Here's my theory.
All right.
Clint, I'd like your feedback here, and you too, Kyler, if you want to weigh in. That game tips off at 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Ah, that helps.
That game tips off at 1 o'clock in Manhattan, Kansas. What else is happening in the state of Kansas on Saturday afternoon at 3:30? The Chiefs hosting the Jags.
So now
the Red Raiders catch a bit of a crowd break? Because, hey, it's the lowly Red Raiders. Who cares? They're winless. We're going to beat the crap out of them.
I like the sound of that.
Why?
I don't like the sound of that.
Well, it's true.
I get it.
Yeah. It's true.
I got you.
Why go to that game when we can go pregame for Chiefs?
Ooh. Just go to the sports bar and start drinking. Get the basketball game on TV.
Yeah, Chiefs watch party.
We kind of had that in our Big 12 opener, a distracted fan base.
Yeah, didn't take advantage of it. But maybe second time is the charm.
Well, I like the sound of that.
Does that sound like a Kansas State thing that they would do there, Clint? Can we kind of pin all of our emotional hopes on this game on a distracted and non-existent crowd because of the Chiefs?
No, it has been. I don't know if you guys said this earlier. I did see that this was sold out from a Kansas State perspective.
Damn it.
Okay, never mind.
But, I mean, it's been sold out before. They've said that, and it's been half empty. So wait till you put stock into that.
I'm just trying.
I like it. Good thinking.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Somebody says, goat is the most consumed meat around the world.
All right.
And they wrote that with such confidence that I believe them, even though maybe it's not true.
That from the American Goat Association.
But we don't eat much goat.
No. Well, and that's like, why I think the around the world is the operative.
Like, imagine how much goat they must eat around the world when we don't eat any, and it's still number one. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Texter Gary says, Extreme Ways by Moby is the Jason Bourne theme song.
There we go.
I is that walking around knowledge, Gary, or did you look that up?
Big Moby fan.
This on the chat line, just like eggs, feed for chickens and livestock has gone up by at least a third, so it's causing prices to soar. Grain is scarce. From Scott in Lubbock, are we trending toward the Lady Raiders being like in the 90s when they were in the front seat and the men were in the back seat? I'm much more excited about them now. I think we probably a ways to go before you get to that point, but it's not as laughable as an idea as it would have been 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, we covered that earlier, and I don't know if that text was a follow-up to what we said, but I think in the very first segment at 3 o'clock, I talked about the idea that it's not a bad time for the women to you know, the Lady Raiders to reel off some wins, and because I think there's some oxygen in the fan base, or oxygen in the room, or maybe that's a bad analogy.
Oxygen somewhere. Bobby Hot Dogs is curious how Clint feels about Chapman going to the Chiefs. Clint is speechless.
Some emotional space. Yeah. That's probably a better way to say it than oxygen. There's some emotional space in the fan base.
We'll take some emotional space next on Double T 97.3.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. How you going? Hope you're having a great Thursday. If not, hope it gets better. I'd love to hear your thoughts and comments in the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. All guests appear via the Benchmark Hotline. Some news being reported now in the world of college basketball. A coach that Texas Tech has faced in men's basketball not that long ago has announced today, this afternoon, that he'll be stepping away and essentially retiring, although I don't know if he's going to maybe classify it that way, but Mike Bray will step down at Notre Dame at the end of this season after 23 years with the Irish. He is the program's all-time winningest coach.
I was looking up age. Mike Bray.
481 victories with Notre Dame. Overall in his career, because he also spent time at Delaware, he won 580 games, lost 321, produced 16 20-win seasons in South Bend, 13 NCAA tournaments. He's won 15 games in those tournaments. That seems a little bit low. Couple of Elite Eight runs. Three-time Big East Coach of the Year. Produced six All-Americans. That actually seems low.
63 years
considering
old.
He's been there for that long, you know?
Did you say 24 years at Notre Dame? That's
23.
A run.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he took over there when he was roughly 40. And, 63 years old. It's not the, I'm sure he's got all the money he needs. I mean, you know, if you do that for a Division I head coach for a long time, you ought to have, you know, enough to retire on.
Where does he kind of rank in your pantheon of coaches there, Clint? I mean, he's not like an amazing coach. I don't even know that I would say like great.
Solid.
I'm trying to think of a coach comp just under that kind of Hall of Fame status. Just under it, and just because of longevity.
Might have some but counter stats.
Not once have I been like, boy, you know, you got Coach K, you got Roy Williams, you got Bill Self, and then you got Mike Bray. Like, not even close.
I like that voice. Nice.
I mean, this is a program that before he arrived had been to five Big Eights, but three of those were before 1960. Had made a lot of NCAA tournament appearances. But had never won a conference, although, you know, largely been independent. Hadn't just won a whole ton of conference games. Kind of a middling, mediocre program history. Certainly nothing like its football program.
Hey, chirp the Red Raiders.
No, yeah, he's a big fan of them.
Big Bad. Wasn't he the guy that said, ooh, Big Bad Texas Tech, gonna come in and push us around or something like that?
I mean, he kind of did.
Yeah, that was exactly. Good call, Coach. Good call, Skip.
I kind of feel like he's somewhere in the solid to good.
Yeah.
Right? Just good enough to come back year after year, but never in the nation's elite.
Yeah, not leading teams to championships and making deep playoff.
The type of coach where if he was at a program that was more invested in basketball, he would not have made it that long.
I agree.
There you go.
Because, I mean, all right, his third season, they make the Sweet 16, right? They go 24-10. And then they don't win another NCAA tournament game for 5 years. Three NIT bids and a first-round exit.
Ooh.
And then another, like, three-year drought. And then another three-year drought.
Yeah, and probably graduating kids and keeping people out of the bad side.
Sure.
He's probably doing that.
I mean, in this past season,
program,
obviously they made it to the round of 32 because that's where they met the Red Raiders, and that's where their tournament run ended. Before that, they hadn't won a tournament game in five seasons. So it's almost like he has this rhythm of, doing okay, maybe a bad season here or there, and then just when the results are mediocre enough to where there's some reasonable talk about, hey, is it time to move on, he kind of pops up with a pretty good season, or at least a better season. I mean,
would Jamie Dixon be a good comp?
Ooh.
Nice.
Because I feel the same way, at least just off the top of my head, about Jamie Dixon.
And I'm with you. Without looking at stats and championships and having any sort of metrics in front of me, just that's my impression.
I mean, I think to be fair to Jamie Dixon, I think he had a lot more success early in his career than Bray did. And he, of course, Dixon had the benefit of playing in a conference for all of those seasons, right? And therefore, you could win a conference championship. But, he won two conference championships at Pitt. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a pretty good comp. Yeah, not like apples to apples, but pretty close. I'd say apples to mangoes.
That was the flavor of your rain.
Right? I tried peach mango jelly on a peanut butter sandwich today.
Mm.
Super good.
Okay.
Super good.
Yeah, I mean you're not gonna go wrong with that. I mean, if anything didn't work there, it might just be the combination, but just by itself, peach mango jelly, sure.
Yeah, I've been branching out. Because when you go to the grocery store and you buy jelly, they've got the main brands, grape, red plum, strawberry, whatever. Yeah. And then up on top, they've got the glass jars of like the local stuff.
Top shelf.
What I view as the local stuff.
Top shelf.
Sure. So they've got like blackberry, blueberry.
Sure.
The only thing I haven't tried so far is apricot. I'm just not a big fan of the apricot. Even the orange marmalade was pretty good on the PB&J. I think raspberry, probably my favorite so far. No input from either of you on the PB&Js. Okay, moving on.
I love PB&J.
It's like the perfect sandwich.
Peanut butter and peach jelly.
I could eat a PB&J.
After 9 o'clock.
I think
it's best after 9 o'clock.
In the morning?
Night.
Oh.
My preference would be strawberry jelly, but I'm not. It's all good.
I could eat a PB&J every single day.
That's pretty good.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at Double T 97.3.com.